on this particular lecture, we want to continue this subject of how to put a procedure together. You understand there's certain things that we have to take care of in any process. And these things are all very fundamental, but there were things we had to take care of before we could even start auditing. And that had to do with whether or not we were in communication with a human being, whether or not this person conceived a great deal of menace in the environment, whether or not this person was in a state of fuel, you might say, to be fairly comfortable, at least, about his body during the auditing session. Now, having done that, we get to the next immediate problem. Is this individual going to carry out your orders, or is he just chronically in a state where he'll avoid orders like mad? We have to settle that situation in a hurry, and the best way to settle that situation is to march him around the room, march him around the place, opening procedure, making touch this and touch that. Now, remember that yesterday he followed your orders fine, but today he hasn't any mind to. Again, you had livingness intervening between the auditing sessions. Yesterday, he just worked like a well-oiled dream. And today, he sits there, he looks the same, and you say, give me three places where you were not, and he immediately says, well, let's see now. This is a good opportunity to go over that matter there about money, which I was, I'll get three places where there is plenty of money. And he does, and he says, yup, and you say something else and something else. What happened in between? Well, you don't care. 1,000 things could have happened in between those auditing sessions. Somebody could have come along and convinced him that Scientology was no good or something of the sort. Somebody could have come along and told him that you as an auditor were actually very reprehensible. And somebody might have come along and said you had just got through spinning them yesterday or something. Anything could have happened in between these sessions which would reduce his desire to follow your auditing command and bring him up toward the belief that maybe, in spite of the fact that you might know what you're doing, the chances are that your orders would damage him. Well, you'd better get him over that again. You better get him back into your wiki up and get him rolling. Best way to do that is to have him go around and find a spot on the table and find a place in the window and go over and touch that. Now, why move him around? Well, you can tell whether or not he's following your orders if he's moving around. And furthermore, you are auditing one of the most basic things that you can audit when you audit opening procedure. The most basic thing you can audit is the ability to receive an order and give one. Because that's basically postulates, isn't it? So, as your individual moves around, he gets into a state of mind where he is willing to follow orders. And he goes right on following the orders silently and so forth. This does not, by the way, put him into an hypnotic trance. Somebody's liable to come along someday or another and say to you, well, yes, you got this orders, he accepts orders. Well, in hypnotism, you know, we can get people to accept orders too. No, you're asking this individual to receive an order and know that he received it. The end goal of opening procedure is to know the source of the order and to know the source of his orders which caused the body to execute these commands. We are locating both ends of a communication line, source and receipt points. He locates you as the source point of the opening procedure order. He locates himself as the receipt point of it, and just that all by itself will do an awful lot for a case. Believe me, you'd be surprised how lost these cases are. They don't know where the order points are or the receipt points are, or they don't know who's causing what. You can ask somebody to flop his hands up and down like this. Sometimes he'll do it for an hour before he begins to get the idea of who's doing it. You can ask him several times, who's doing it? And he'll say, oh, well, you are because you said so, and so on. And then he says, who's doing it? Let's see. I guess my body's doing it. Yeah, that's right. Body's doing it. Hey, wait a minute. I'm doing it. Yes, I'm doing it. Well, it's so silly, his standing there doing that, flopping his hands up and down and so forth, that he'll generally, if he really recovers this and it's a break point on his case, he'll get a line charge right at that point. He's doing it. He is the one who is making that motion take place. Well, opening procedure, of course, leaves no question in this after it's run for a while, but don't be afraid to run opening procedure for 15 hours on a case. Because it's good processing. It isn't just getting a session rolling, it's good processing. All right. So, all processes would have in them something of this order, which would bring about this condition of compliance with instructions. Right? That's next requisite you'd have there. Now, let's take up the big problem of the preclear. He's in. Ahead. Now, let's get over this idea of saying he's in his head. No, he's not. He's in a head. What the hell's he doing there? Well, the truth of the matter is, he, eons ago, ran into a body. And ever since that time, has been just a little bit blurred. A body is something on the order of a, as far as a thetan's concerned, the body would act like a sponge upon a drop of water. A thetan who is being very unaware, who is trying to brace himself from going into a body, will hit a body and he'll just go right on in. Zoop. This will be very surprising to him. And he's been in a total state of surprise and collapse ever since. He is not in his head. And let's you as an auditor get it straight once and for all and forever. He's in a head. The genetic line does not belong to the thetan. As a consequence, he is using a communications medium which he feels he does not own. Now, he can use this communications medium, but to use it adequately, he has to be in a lot better condition than you're going to find any thetan in that you're going to audit on this planet. All right? What's our goal? Let's get this guy into a native state, shall we? And let's get him out of his head. And let's get him oriented in his environment. That'd be about your next goal in auditing. Your next goal in auditing is not to make him more adjusted to his environment. Once in a while, I talk about 19th century psychology. Mostly, when I talk to you about it, it is just on the verge of a line charge. Because you can say all you please about it, it assumed some unassumables and went ahead merrily without ever demonstrating that any of them worked. But we don't hold this against psychology. What we have in psychology is the, it gives to laugh. There's one point. Man is adjusted to his environment and must be adjusted to his environment. Look, the environment is not primary. The individual is primary. And they've just stated, and have been stating now for over half a century, this complete reverse on truth, which has made the whole works unworkable. The workability of the subject was zero, because its philosophy was the environment comes first. And if the fellow doesn't match up to his environment, we'll have to do something that does match him up to his environment. And there is the basic philosophy of the prefrontal lobotomy, the basic philosophy of the electric shock, the basic philosophy of education by discipline. Not thinking. They're trying to adjust people to an environment. Who the hell creates this environment? A person does. And that environment must be conquered by the individual. And that race, that man, that culture, that group that does not adjust the environment to it fails and vanishes forever from the track. Life is as good as it can adjust the environment to it. And it's only when life gets the idea that it must totally adjust to the environment that it fails. Here we would have the decline and vanishment of all art, of all invention, if we said adjust to the environment. The next time you hear of a piece of rock inventing a rock crusher, let me know. It just won't do it. You could sit there and beat it and hammer it and pound it and do everything with it, and it just wouldn't invent a machine that would do this. So, we have sitting in front of us somebody who is interiorized into a piece of environment which has adjusted him to it. A body has adjusted the thetan to the body. The thetan has not adjusted the body to the activities of which a thetan is capable. And there is the basic twist on this case. And that is the twist on this case. And if all you could do with people was just exteriorize them, you're in. You're there. You got it. Just don't overlook this just because we don't talk about it a lot. Just because we talk about a lot of theoretical techniques and that sort of thing. Don't overlook this fact. Exteriorization, interiorization. He's stuck in a universe. He can't get out of it. He's stuck in a body in this universe. And he can't get out of that. And the only thing he's really objecting to is the fact that he can't. And you are making it possible for him to do so. And when you don't make it possible, your preclear is unhappy. And when you do make it possible, your preclear is real cheerful. So the difference in these great successes and these failures is in the great successes, we bring a person closer to exteriorizing from environments, houses, anything, everything, and bodies. And the failures are we bring them into a condition of greater stuck in houses, in situations, in bodies, and so forth. What do you think psychology was trying to do but stick people in an environment and then adjust to the environment? This is the philosophy of a slave. We don't want slaves. They're no good. Every civilization which had in it the modus operandi of slavery failed so fast and so abysmally that you could hardly trace the charred remains. Slavery just doesn't lead any place. It doesn't make better worlds. It doesn't make better houses. It doesn't make better industry. Nothing of the sort. And what, in essence, is slavery? Slavery is restriction. Slavery is a restriction of the free motion and free exercise of capability of the individual. And that's the definition of slavery. So you going in a direction of freedom, of course, first and foremost, unstick the guy. He is stuck. All right, that's a good flat phrase, but let's see what's back of that phrase. A restriction of his motion, a restriction of his the environment he can have, a restriction of his activities, capabilities, thoughts, dreams, hopes. Stuck. Slave. Most thetans consider themselves a sort of a slave to the body. All right? Where's our technique that just yanks everybody out of his head and sends him on the way? Where is this technique? Well, oddly enough, a thetan who is very powerful can reach in and snap other thetans out of their heads. Doesn't do him a bit of good. The other thetan winds up bewildered someplace, hits something else, and interiorizes again. You can do it. Doesn't do anything. Because it neglects something very essentially. That's a very essential part of auditing. Self-determinism. The freeing of an individual, which does not immediately and at once, simultaneously enhance the self-determinism of that individual, results in a re-enslavement of the individual. Where you've exteriorized a preclear, and a few days later had him pop back in his head, this is what happened. You exteriorized him into a greater freedom as far as space was concerned, but didn't bring him to a point of where he could exercise a greater self-determinism. And as long as he can exercise a greater self-determinism, he can be free. But where he was unable to exercise that greater self-determinism, he, of course, went right straight back into slavery. It would be all right for the North to free all the slaves in the South. This would be all right. If they restored the self-determinism of the slaves they freed in the South, they didn't do it, and so they made an enormous social problem in the United States, which is with us 100 years almost later. Still with us, same problem. They went through the mechanical act, but they didn't go through, you might say, the mental act. They didn't go into a broader freedom for these individuals. It's a very odd thing to have a president or some senators losing elections simply because they stand up for civil rights. This is the greatest travesty on anything that anybody would consider sincerity that I know of. This country allegedly stands for that sort of thing. Well, it isn't a case of whether or not it's good, or whether or not it's pleasant, or whether or not it's saintly for somebody to restore civil rights to somebody. It isn't that at all. It is a downright absolute necessity if you are going to unslave somebody. You have to restore his rights, which is to say his self-determinism. Well, now, the main trouble with civil rights, really, is that somebody is presenting somebody with some rights. Nobody can give anybody any rights, really, but an individual can assume rights, and those are the only rights there are. All right. Your preclear, then, by the process of auditing, is brought in to a higher sphere of freedom, which is to say he is brought into a higher level of self-determinism. If your auditing doesn't do this, it doesn't unenslave him. And that's the long and short of it. The mere fact of giving and receiving orders will not enslave anybody, so long as those orders remain clear-cut as to their source and as to their receipt point. If a person knows when he's at E on a communication line and knows when he is at C on a communication line, if he knows who he's talking to and who is talking to him, you got it. He's free. So it's not a very hard job to restore freedom to this individual. But we find an individual exteriorizing and going back in only when we exteriorized him, then didn't enlarge his self-determinism. See, here we have a mechanical problem. His geographical location is in a head. And now we have the next geographical location back of his head. And we don't, as an auditor, improve his condition really and markedly and permanently. We just give him a surprise, you see, and some new data. I am not a body, he says, by merely moving him out of a head into an empty space. In the first place, we've reduced his havingness, which is upsetting to him. You say to be 3 feet back of your head, some preclears. They will be, and immediately assume great grief. They will feel very, very sad about it. They will feel very upset about it. What you've done, in essence, is re-stimulate an old death. They think you're taking their body away from them. And it's quite an interesting fact that it disagrees with them utterly. Well, a mechanical situation can be cared for if you will immediately follow it up with a greater freedom in all directions. So you get somebody 3 feet back of his head, get some places where he's not, run him on a grand tour, run him on a little change of space, remedy his heaviness, give him some avalanches, and then, for pity's sakes, let him see and get the idea of ARC and broader communication in all directions. And let him be able to handle the various component parts of life itself. And these are sex, eat, symbols, think, effort, emote, look, know, and the additional factors of pain, unconsciousness, havingness, doingness, and beingness. Communication, affinity, and reality. And you've got it. There is this cycle of action of the meshed universe. And there are a lot of processes you can do with it, but it's not really an integral part of that. It is the design of how those things fit consecutively and how they intertwine. You have to get a tolerance of all these things, not only in havingness, but doingness and beingness and viewingness. Out of those elements, you can put together any process you want to put together. To the end goal of increasing an individual's tolerance for viewpoints, increasing an individual's ability to exert his own determinism, to make his own free choices, to decide, to exercise his imagination, to have opinions, to be able to create automaticities and destroy them, to have or not have randomities. I just add those others because actually these really follow as you remedy the first factors which I named. And as your individual progresses in auditing, he, of course, will be discovered to have a firmer and firmer grip on these various factors. And if he doesn't have a grip on these factors, and he is just isn't getting better, that's all. But if he doesn't have a grip on these factors, he will have the same communication lag. And if a case day after day has the same communication lag, even if it's a brief lag, maybe a one-second lag, something like that, he just goes on having this one-second lag. You're hung up someplace. Not in mechanics, but in the additional freedom of the individual. Now, could we simply enlarge the self-determinism of an individual? Could we simply enlarge it and have him exteriorize? Yes, we could. We could enlarge his self-determinism and bring about a greater knowledge of source and receipt points, and he would exteriorize. He would exteriorize anyway. Processes today would go right straight on forward to exteriorization, whether you willed it or even knew about it or not. It wouldn't matter. The boy would be exteriorized sooner or later. Now, as we put these things together into processes, we discover that we had better, whenever we are running considerations, whenever we're running ARC and so forth, we had better join hands with the mechanical fact that exteriorization can take place and take active steps to cause it ever so often in auditing. Now, let me tell you a very sad story. There was a fellow who was being processed, and he was asked to be 3 feet back of his head, and he wasn't. And he was told that he should study something or other and do some exercises one way or the other. Actually, it was mock-ups. And so he did, and auditors audited him, and he did some more mock-ups. And the months went on. And one day, one of his friends said to him, almost as an afterthought, after he'd given him a little straight wire, I suppose the auditor slipped or something, and said to him, be 3 feet back of your head. And the guy immediately was with full perception. He'd been in a condition to exteriorize, if you please, for about 2 months. Just everybody knew he was a five, though, so they just went on auditing him as a five, and there he went, And he just went on being audited and audited and audited and audited and audited and audited and audited. And he was all set and raring to go and ready to exteriorize long since. So when we put together a process, let's remember that. Now, how many methods of exteriorization are there? Well, I know of more tricky exteriorization methods than I would comfortably be able to talk to you about in the next 2 or 3 months. They're the tricky. You can slide a guy out of his head. You could take almost anybody and slip him out of his head one way or the other. Doesn't do any good, though. His freedom factor, you might say, is not at the tolerance level of being free. It's too low, and so he just slaps back in again. And with all of your cleverness, you bring about a reinteriorization after a little while. So let's not get clever about it, and let's look at just the blunt ways of getting somebody out of his head, and let's just hold on to these ways of getting people out of their head and just say these are the ways we get people out of their head. You say, be 3 feet back of your chair, or 3 feet back of your head. 3 feet back of your chair is a little better terminology because you don't police attention on his head. That's an optimum method of doing it. Be in a place where you would like to be is another method of doing it. Familiar surrounding. The next method, however, is just as good. Mock up your body in front of you, or mock up a body in front of you. Duplicate it, bang. Sooner or later, you'll be out of his head. If you can get any kind of a mock up at all. So that is an exteriorization method, and it works. Now, rather than call his attention to the body, however, let's do this. All right, let's take a look at your environment. Now, duplicate it. Now, let's find a nothingness and duplicate it. And we have a highly effective process in that. Which, by the way, will exteriorize somebody. Now, let's go into another exteriorization process. Find three spots in your body, three spots in the room, three spots in the body, three spots in the room, three spots in the body, three spots in the room, three spots in the body, three spots in the room, three spots in the body, bing, you go out. All right, what's another one? Hold on to the two back corners of the room. Hold on to them, don't think. Another standard one. Find two nothingnesses someplace and hold on to those, don't think. That's another one. Give me some places where you're not. Some more places where you're not. Some more places where you're not. Some more places where you're not. Places in your body where you're not. Places in your body where you're not. Places in the environment where you're not. Which is three spots in the body, three spots in the environment on a reverse basis. That'll also exteriorize them. Funny part of it is we've just run fresh out of exteriorization methods. Because if the individual is not in a state where one or another of these methods will exteriorize him, if he's not in a state where he'd be exteriorized by these simple methods, he isn't in a state where he'll maintain exteriorization. See that? And so you might as well just use these light, routine methods. Now, although I've given these methods to you very offhandedly and very rapidly, I expect you to know them perfectly. And those are the methods of exteriorization. Now, in putting a process together, then, look what we've got now. Well, you got the preclear, we got his environment, environmental problem, we got our two-way communication with him, we got the idea that he's there and a body is hungry or not hungry or not functioning as a disruptive factor. We have the idea, is he going to follow your orders and know who's giving him orders and know who's receiving orders and be able to walk around the room? In other words, is this following communication? I don't mean at the beginning of the time when you first met him as a preclear. I mean every session now. Let's just go through the little routine. Let's make sure we're cooking on all eight cylinders here. And the next thing that we would do with him is, having discovered all this was okay and running along well, we'd use some little exteriorization method on him or something of the sort, just in passing, so as not to give him a big failure, you see. Do it rather offhandedly. Don't give him a big failure. By the way, you get some people who've been audited for quite a while, and their continuous failure of exteriorization is in itself the reason why they're not exteriorizing. And so the next thing you would do to him would then be, whether he was out or in, you'd be likely to address these factors which I talked to you about and rehabilitate his tolerance to these factors of having them and experiencing them and so forth. And these factors are, again, simply the sex to no scale, pain, unconsciousness, havingness, doingness, beingness. Factors which are ARC, of course. Factors which are extremely simple in their use and application, because all we want to alter with this individual is his mind, and all we're trying to do is get him to change his mind, and if we try to get him to change his mind in the right direction, he will. And by changing his mind, he achieves freedom. Actually, what are all these things? What is actually condensation of attention? But itself a consideration. What is gravity? It's a consideration. What is affinity? It's a consideration. Whether you're agreeing or disagreeing with somebody or not, well, that's a consideration. So we're trying to get him to reconsider existence, and therefore our questions which lead him in this direction succeed best. And our questions leading him in that direction are very simple to put together. What effort wouldn't you mind considering? What could you do without becoming exhausted? What could you be without becoming exhausted? Who would it be all right for you to like? Mild, permissive questions. Run preferably in brackets so as to get the quantity of agreement in on it. You see why we get agreement in on it. And this is auditing. And so we put together any process we put together out of these various factors, just that I've discussed to you today.